There was a story of a young pastor. He had just moved into the neighborhood, had just been a pastor at his church for just a couple of months. And after one of the services, a lady came to him and asked him, she said, Pastor, I'm the president of our Women's Civic Union here in town, and we were wondering if you would come and speak to us in the next couple of weeks. And he thought about it for a little bit, and he said, sure, I could do that. And then he asked her, he said, well, what topic would you like to hear? And she said, well, this is kind of embarrassing, but we would like to hear what the Bible has to say about sex. And he said, okay, well, I guess I can do that. We can talk about that. So he was one evening, he was in his office in his house, and he was working on the message that he was going to give to the Women's Civic Union. And his wife walked in and saw him working, and she said, what are you working on? He said, well, I'm working on the talk that I'm going to give to the Women's Civic Union. And she said, really? She said, what's the topic? And he was really embarrassed about it. And so he started to go through his mind, what should I tell her? And he saw a picture of a sailboat, and he said, sailing. I'm going to talk about sailing. And she walked out, and she thought, that's kind of weird. He's only been sailing a few times. Why would he talk about that? But she let it go, and the time came, and he went, and he gave his little talk to the civic union ladies, and they all came to him afterwards and said, you did a wonderful job. Thanks for the information. It was very informative. You did it very tactfully, and we're glad that you spoke on this subject. After that, one of the ladies from the civic union was at the grocery store, and the pastor's wife was there as well. And she saw the pastor's wife and walked up and grabbed her and said, I just want to thank you. Your husband did an amazing job today at our meeting and spoke on the topic and did an amazing job at it. And the pastor's wife was a little confused, and she looked at the woman and she said, really? He did a good job? I mean, he's only done it twice, and both times he got sick. Sometimes talking about this subject is a little embarrassing. And I do want to tell you, I don't usually use notes, but I was contemplating just bringing all my notes and just going to read the entire thing to you just like this, because I said to the first service, I've been nervous about this message for the last couple of weeks. But it is a very important subject in our marriages. It's a source of conflict in a lot of marriages, and it's very important that we talk about it, not from a world's perspective, but from a true biblical perspective. There are a lot of places in which they're not embarrassed to talk about sex, and that's usually everywhere else outside of the church. If you watch movies, if you watch videos, if you watch TV shows, it has permeated our entire culture. There are messages all over the place that talk about sex, and they talk about it very openly and unapologetically. But God is not embarrassed to talk about it either. And God talks about it without any reservation. In Genesis chapter 1, it tells us that God was the one who created sex. In Genesis 1, 27 and 28, he says, and he created them, male and female, he created them, and they were to be fruitful and multiply. And then after that, it says that God looked at everything that he had made, and it was very good. And God designed sex to be enjoyed in the bounds of marriage. If you read the entire book of Song of Solomon, it talks about a physical relationship between Solomon and his bride. At one point, his bride actually says, your love for me is sweeter than wine itself. And so God talks about the celebration of sex within marriage, and God is not embarrassed to talk about it, and it is a very important part of our relationship in marriage. And I saved it until the end here because we've already talked about conflict, we've talked about communication, we've talked about how to handle our finances, and all those things are important, and this is just as important part of our marriages as all of those other aspects of our marriage. And there was a survey done, and the results came back that said that there are probably an estimated 17 million married couples, 17 million married couples in America that do not enjoy sexual intimacy with one another. They have abstained from sexual intimacy with one another, even within the bounds of marriage. And so it's very important. We're going to look here in 1 Corinthians. I just want to give you a little bit of background so you understand where this is coming from. The city of Corinth was not much different than American culture today. It was a culture that was saturated with messages of sex wherever you looked. Actually, in Corinth was a temple to the goddess Aphrodite. Aphrodite was considered the love goddess. And there were temple prostitutes, and there was sexual immorality that was running rampant. There were sexual messages that were being blared all throughout their community. And so these people in the church of Corinth, they were saying, hey, we're trying to live godly lives in the midst of this culture that is really consumed with the message of sex. So they wrote the Apostle Paul a letter. They said, how do we live here? I mean, how are we supposed to live out our faith in this way? And so Paul, of course, writes back, and he spends a lot of time in 1 Corinthians, first part of it, talking about great deep doctrines of the faith, and then he addresses this issue of sex within the church. And we're going to pick it up in verse 18 and jump down and read the few verses in chapter 7. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 18, it says this, "Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Now, for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to marry, but since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." So he talks about two sides of the coin here, and we're going to talk about both sides here. And I want to say, first of all, here is what he tells us is number one is escape sex outside marriage. Escape sex outside marriage. He says here, beginning in verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. In the original Bible language, it's two words. The first word, flee, it was a word that was used to run to safety. For instance, if we were standing outside in a tornado, we could see a tornado off in the distance and we saw it heading toward us, we would all run for safety. We would want to go someplace where it's safe. That's the word that he uses here, flee sexual immorality. That word sexual immorality, the original Bible word is the word porneia. It's where we get our word pornography or pornographic. It was a word that was used to talk about, to illustrate, to discuss any type of sexual behavior outside of marriage. And so it included pornography, it included adultery, it included fornication, it included even, I mean, they didn't have this then, but today it includes the ideas of sexting and videos and things like that, nudity. All of those things would have been included in that word porneia. And so what he says here, he says, if you are outside the bounds of marriage, run to safety away from porneia, away from sexual immorality. And when we read that, I think oftentimes of Joseph back in the Old Testament. Joseph was in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him and trying to get him to have sex with her. And the Bible says that Joseph ran. He fled. He ran to safety. And that's the same message that God calls us to today. If you're out any type of sexual activity outside the bounds of marriage, he says, what I want you to do is run to safety. Now, why would he say run to safety? He goes on and he explains it. He said, this is why you need to run to safety. This is why you should flee it, because all other sins a man commits are outside his body. So if I take something that doesn't belong to me, I've committed a sin, but that's outside my body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. What he's saying is when you sin, when you are involved in sexual immorality, what you're doing is you're actually harming, you're hurting yourself. He said, why would you do that? He said, run to safety from sexual immorality. And then he goes on, he talks specifically to believers. He says this, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Because the sin that we commit is inside of our body, if you're a believer, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit lives within us. And what he's saying, why would you defile the very temple of the Holy Spirit? Because this sin that you commit is a sin that you commit inside your body. Let's illustrate that for a second. Imagine if the local trash company called me up on the phone this week and they say, hey, we're having trouble getting all the trash in Bellwood picked up. And so what we would like to do is we would like to use your sanctuary as a gathering place, a holding place for all the trash throughout the week. And we'll just bring it in here Monday, and then by Friday we'll come back by and we'll pick it all up, we'll have it all gone, and it'll be all cleaned up before you come in on Sunday. Of course, we would say, no, we're not going to allow that to happen. We wouldn't trash this place. But he says the same thing. He says, when we're involved in sexual immorality, the very temple of the Holy Spirit, is what we're doing is we're committing that sin in our body and causing destruction and harm to it. And then he goes on in verse 1 of chapter 7. He says, now, for the matters you wrote about, he says, you've asked me about this thing, these things. It is good for a man not to marry. Now, the NIV kind of translates that the wrong way. It's not that they shouldn't marry. What he's saying, it's not good for a man. Other translations will say it's not good for a man to touch a woman. The idea is that it's not good for a man to have sexual relations with a woman outside of marriage. But since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. He said, because you have these desires, what you should do is you should just get married. And then what you're doing is you're bringing these things within the context and the boundaries of marriage. So he tells us, first of all, to escape sex outside of marriage. But of course, this is a marriage series, so we want to talk about the other side of that coin. And he goes on and he begins to kind of shift gears. And he said, if you're outside of marriage, flee from it. If you're inside of marriage, he says, I want you to enjoy it. He tells us, secondly, he says, enjoy sex inside marriage. And that's where he begins here in verse 3. He says, the husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So he talks about enjoying sex inside marriage. And here he tells us, first of all, he says, be considerate of each other's needs. Be considerate of each other's needs. He tells us in verse 4, the husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife. That word fulfill is a word that was used in those days to give somebody what was owed to them. And so what he's saying, husbands, give to your wife what you owe them. Give to them your marital duty. That word duty is used 3 times in the New Testament. This one, and then 2 other times. The 2 other times, it's translated as the word debt. And so he says, give to them what you owe them. You owe this to them. Husbands, you owe this to your wives. And wives, you owe this to your husbands, as he talks about sexual relationships inside of marriage. Be considerate of each other's needs. Now, I came to a groundbreaking revelation this week. I want to share it with you. Okay? When I learned this week, a light bulb literally went off above my head, because I can't believe it took me so long to figure this out. But listen, men and women are different. Yeah, see? Somebody else just learned that today. Listen, men and women are different. We have different needs. And so I did some research with Focus on the Family and Family Life Today on their websites, and they're very similar. Both websites have a similar chart, and both Christian websites, and they talk about the different needs of husbands and wives. And I have the little chart here right there. Okay. And so this is the difference between men and women. Men, when we think about physical intimacy, it's physical and compartmentalized. That word compartmentalized means that that's why, wives, you can have an argument with your husband, and then 3 minutes later, he's like, hey, how you doing, okay? Because it's compartmentalized for us, okay? So it's not, we don't equate the argument with physical intimacy. It's different for us. But wives are different because, and again, I'm talking in generalities here. It may not be you, but this is typically the way it works. Women are more relational and holistic. So the men's like, you had that argument 2 minutes ago, and the husband's like, hey, how you doing? And the wife's like, what are you talking about? We just had an argument 2 minutes ago. And so we approach it differently. Husbands, overwhelmingly, most surveys that are done, men look for respect and admiration from their wives. They want them to say, hey, you're doing a good job. You're a good husband. You're a good father. I love the way you work and provide for our family. And then women want understanding and love. That's why guys, when women are pouring their problems out to us, we always want to respond by saying, hey, this you need to do this, 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 and this. And your wife looks at you and say, I don't want you to solve the problem. I just want you to listen to me. Husbands, men, usually initiate physical intimacy. Wives usually respond to that. Okay, I'm talking in generalities here. Men are acyclical and difficult to distract. Acyclical means that, you know, a man's usually like anytime, anywhere, any place. I'm, you know, ready to go. And difficult to distract. So, you know, if you're getting physically intimate with your husband, a bomb could go off outside the bedroom door and he wouldn't even know it. Okay? Wives are different. It's cyclical. They go through phases. They go through times in which they're interested and times that they're not interested, and they're easily distracted. That's why if you have newborns in your house and, you know, the wife can usually hear that baby rolling over four rooms away, okay? And they're like, whoa, let's time out here. And men's like, I don't know what you're talking about. What'd you hear? Men are visual and auditory. Somebody has said this. You will never, and again, typically, you'll never hear a man say, can you put on some clothes and be quiet, okay? When we're talking about physical intimacy, they're visually and auditory stimulated. Women are more about attitudes and words. Okay? So the idea here is, he says, be considerate of each other's needs. You're, as a husband, you have different needs than your wife. As a wife, you have different needs than your husband. That's why Paul says here, he says, the husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife. And then on the other hand, likewise, the wife should do the same for her husband. And what he's doing here throughout this entire thing, if you remember way back the first message in the series, we talked about really the foundation of a good, strong marriage, and that was we are more important than me. And what he's doing here, what he's doing is he's just taking that statement and putting it in practical implications as we talk about physical intimacy, that we are more important than me. And I'm going to be considerate of your needs as you are considerate of my needs. And we're going to talk about those things. That's why I put this message at the end after we talked about communication, because it's important, because we are different. It's important for us to communicate through this. And listen, husbands and wives, it's important for you to communicate this out, communicate about this outside the bedroom. Like, in the bedroom is not the best time to be talking about these things, because you're different. So it needs to be have some thorough, deep conversations about this. So he says, be considerate of each other's needs. Next, he goes on, he says, be committed to each other's pleasure. In verse 4, he says, the wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. Now, in other versions, it says the wife does not have authority over her body alone, but her husband does. And that's the idea here, is that somebody else now has authority over my body. But then he also goes on and says, the husband does not belong to, husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. That's why, you know, when we're in the grocery store and I, you know, pinch my wife on the backside, she says, stop that. And I say, hey, it's my body too, right? And then that's why she can come back to me and say, hey, make sure you pluck those eyebrows in the middle there, because, you know, and why do you dress like a homeless person all the time? And all those things. Because my body does not just solely belong to me, but now it belongs to my wife. And my wife's body does not solely belong to her any longer, but now belongs to me as well. And so he says, be committed to each other's pleasure. Now, again, another really good book that was written was by Willard Harley. He wrote a book entitled His Needs, Her Needs. And the subtitle is How to Affair-Proof Your Marriage. And what he did there for this book was he didn't just talk to marriages that went well. What he did was he actually talked to marriages where one or the other spouse actually committed affair. And some of them came back together, some of them dissolved in divorce. But he wanted to know what caused that to happen. And I have some of his insights here on the next screen. What he says is to men, he says it's ASAP. He said men go as slow as possible. And the number one need for your wife when we talk about intimacy is affection. Your wife needs affection more than anything else. And affection is giving her a hug, kissing her on the cheek, holding her hand, communicating with her, writing love notes to her. That's a woman's number one need. She also needs conversation. She needs you to talk to her. And then security. She needs to feel safe. She needs emotional security. She needs financial security. She needs physical security. She needs to feel safe with you. Okay? Now, on the other side, he said, women, you need to be as sensuous as possible because the number one need for your husband is sex. And I know all the women are saying, yeah, I can tell a man wrote this book. Okay? But that's what it is. And he says it's much deeper than just something physical. He said in all the interviews that he did, it was more than just a physical release, but also it actually increased the husband's self-esteem and confidence and boosted really the inside of that man, because this is more than just about physical intimacy for a man. Attractiveness. He said, you know, why is it that, you know, women get all dolled up to go to work or go to a job interview, and then the husband comes home and she's got like Coca-Cola cans in her hair and got slippers that don't match, and she has a robe that, you know, came from the Smithsonian Institute. What he says is, why is it important? Your husband wants attractiveness, and he also wants companionship. He wants somebody who's going to go through life with him. And so the idea here is, and what Paul's saying here, he's saying be committed to each other's pleasure. I want you to think, husbands, what would it be like if your wife just said, hey, we're not going to have sex anymore? That's what it's like for her when you don't talk to her, when you don't show her affection, when you don't tell her how much you love her. On the other side, imagine, wives, if your husband just didn't talk to you and didn't show you affection. That's the same thing as not having sex with him. And it's not just simply going through the motions, but actually pretending like you enjoy it with him. Okay? It's very important. It's the number one need in men and women. And he said, listen, we've got to be committed to really satisfying each other. Just as much as a woman needs the non-sexual emotional pleasure, the man needs the physical intimacy part of it. Shanti Feldhahn wrote two books. One is for men only, the other is for women only. That's the titles of them. And what she did is she surveyed men and women. And in one chapter, she talks about this idea of physical intimacy. And she said, listen, she said, here's the difference, is that women usually want to have emotional closeness before they have physical closeness. Okay? And so what he says is, men, if you're not showing affection and conversing with your wife, then why would you ever expect her to be physically intimate with you? And then she said, on the other hand, men desire the physical intimacy in order to have emotional closeness. And you see where the problem is here. Because we both want the same thing, but how we get there usually is two different ways. And that's why Paul says, be committed to each other's pleasure. He says, the wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Be committed to each other. J.D. Greer told a story. It was an adult brother and sister. They were visiting New York City, and both were looking for a spouse. And so they went down to New York City, and there was a husband store on one side of the street and a wife store on the other side of the street. And so the girl, she walked into the husband store, and there was a sign at the door that said, here is the husband store. As you go up in floors, the husbands get better and better, but also the price increases as well. So she walked in, and on the first floor it said, these husbands have jobs. Okay, and she looked around, and then she went up another floor, and it said, these husbands have jobs, and they enjoy kids. And she thought, wow, okay, what's on the next floor? She goes up to the next floor and says, these husbands have jobs, they like kids, and they like talking to you. And she was like, she was really amazed. She went up to the next floor and it said, these husbands have jobs, they like kids, they like talking to you, and they write love notes every single day. She went up to the next floor and it said, your visitor number 1,473,265. There's nothing up here. It just goes to prove that women are never satisfied. I didn't tell the story. J.D. Greer did. The guy walks into the wife's store, and same thing. As you go up, the wives get better. So he walks in, and the first floor said, these wives love to have sex. He goes up to the next floor, and it says, you're the first visitor. Nobody's ever made it past the first floor. The idea is that we're different. We both want the intimacy with one another, but how we get there, we see it differently. And again, that's why it's important for you and I, or not you and I, but you and your spouse and me and my spouse to talk through these differences. I told you, this is really making me nervous today. Let's just move on. Number three, he says, be consistent for each other's benefit. Verse 5, listen to what he says. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent. That word deprived is a word that means to rob something, to take something away from something, somebody else. He said, don't deprive each other except by mutual consent. That's why you never use sex as a way to get what you want. Well, if you do this, then, you know, we'll have sex. Or if you do this, then we're not going to have sex. That's called manipulation. And that's why Paul says here, don't deprive each other except by mutual consent. And he says, this is why. He said, this is the only time you shouldn't be having sex. Except by mutual consent and for a time so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. He said, the only time you should be not being involved in a sexual relationship is you're abstaining so that you can spend time in prayer. And then he says, but that should not be forever. Listen to what he says. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. The whole idea here is this. He says, as husbands and wives, you should be considerate of each other, you should be committed to each other, and you should be having sex often. And I know what the next question is. There's going to be guys raising their hands, or you're thinking in your mind, I don't need to raise my hand and ask a question. How much is often? I don't know. That's something you'll have to talk about and discover in your own relationship. And so he says here, he says, don't deprive each other except for this time of mutual consent when you can spend time in prayer. And then make sure you come back together so that Satan will not tempt you. Now, I was talking about this message with Pastor Ken. And this is, again, I'm blaming Pastor Ken for this. The other one was J.D. Greer. This is Pastor Ken. And so Pastor Ken said, hey, when you get to that verse, just tell them this. To keep temptation at bay, have sex every day. Okay? That's on Pastor Ken. So when you see him, that was on him. Okay? I don't know how much often is. You need to determine that on your own. But the point is, he says, you need to be doing this together often in your life. Somebody has said that there ought to be a 24-hour rule. So if one person's not feeling it, you just say, all right, I'm going to try to find a way to say yes within 24 hours. Because men and women are different. And listen, I want to tell you this. I know, men, listen, don't download this sermon and play it every single night before you go to bed. Okay? Don't do that. And some of you guys, this is the first Bible verses you're ever going to memorize. But listen, you need to be respectful of your wife, okay? You don't need to be clawing at her every single second of the day. But wives, on the other hand, too, you got to understand that this is a big part of who your man is, okay? So it's a big part of men. It's a big part of who you are. And listen, just sometimes wives just aren't into it. And when they say no, it's not a personal rejection against you. It's not saying, I don't want you. They're just saying, I don't want it right now. Okay? And so it's important for us to understand the difference. If you get nothing else out of this morning, understand that we're different and you need to talk through these things. But the big spiritual principle this morning is this, is that sex inside marriage is a gift from God. That's why Paul says, don't deprive each other, because this is an amazing gift that God has given to you. And so don't deprive each other except for a time as you're spending time in prayer, but make sure you come back together, because sex in marriage is a gift from God. There's been all kinds of secular research done on sexual relationships inside of marriage, and it benefits us emotionally. They say that married couples who have sex on a regular basis, they experience a decrease in stress. They experience an increase in self-confidence and body image. There's an increase in just pure happiness. It's not only emotional, but physically. Couples who have sex on a regular basis, their blood pressure is decreased. So there you go. You can just get rid of the blood pressure medicine. It decreases your blood pressure. Life expectancy goes up. There's physical benefits to it. There's also relational benefits. Of course, those who have sex on a regular basis, the divorce decreases. The bonding between husband and wife deepens. They even discovered the communication between husbands and wives goes deeper. And so there's all kinds of benefits to this. And that's why God tells us here, don't deprive each other, because sex in marriage is a gift from God. So a couple things that I want you to do. Number one is I want you to communicate. Okay? Husbands and wives, communicate about this issue. Talk about it. Talk about what you like, what you don't like. Talk about the, you know, what does often mean to you guys. You need to figure that out. So communicate. Number two is romance each other. All right? The number one complaint most men have is my wife isn't romantic. Well, or my wife doesn't initiate. Well, wives, you can help them out in that way. But also husbands, I think a large part of that depends upon us. Think about husbands. Think about the ways in which you pursued your wife while you were dating before you got married. Man, you were buying her flowers, you were taking her out to dinner, you were doing everything you could. And then somehow, once marriage, once you said, I do, somehow a switch flipped and you don't do those things anymore. Romance your wife. Write love notes to her. Send her an email in the middle of the day and tell her how much you love her and how much you just can't live without her. Make sure you build that romance in your life. But then number three is to plan. Listen. We plan every single thing in our life. Everything that's important to us, we plan. This is an important part of your life. And so this is where I come back to husbands. Your wife sometimes just, she's, you know, men are like, when we talk about this, men are like a microwave. Women are more like a crock pot, okay? And so wives just can't flip the switch. You've got to make it an all-day affair, okay? And so start the day before and say, hey, how about on Thursday? And then just start building up to it, romance her and communicate with her. And listen, guys, I guarantee it'll work, okay? Money back guarantee on that. I just want to close with this final illustration. Sexual relationships are a lot like a fire, okay? A fire in the right place is really good. If you have fire in a fireplace, or if you have fire in a fire pit, or if you have fire in your stove, or if you have fire in your furnace, that's good. It's really good. But if you have fire outside of those places, if you start a fire in your, you know, on your couch in your living room, it's going to burn your house down. It's not good. In the same way, sex within marriage is designed to be really good. But when we allow sex to get outside the bounds of marriage, it's going to burn you down. So when it's in the right place, when you have a fire in the right place, you got to keep it burning. You got to keep adding fuel to the fire. Same way with your physical intimacy. In the right place, you got to continue to fuel that fire. Continue to keep it burning. Continue to romance your spouse. That's why in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, literally it says, the marriage bed is undefiled. Physical intimacy between a husband and wife ultimately brings glory to God. And that's why sex in marriage is a gift from God. So throughout this entire series, I've given you homework at the end of every message. I think you know where this is going, right? In the words of Nike, just do it. And do it for the glory of God. Because whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you for the ways in which it speaks to us in just very practical ways. God, I pray that we would flee, that we would run from any type of sexual activity outside of marriage. But those who are married in this room, I pray, Lord, that they would talk through these things, that they would live out the principles that are here and understand that in marriage, sex is a tremendous gift from you. That they would not deprive one another, except for prayer, but they would just continue to be physically intimate with each other for the glory and honor of you. And so we thank you just for this entire series. I pray that as we grow in our relationships with our spouses, that it truly would reflect the goodness and the greatness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we thank you and look forward to the ways in which you're going to use us and minister in us and through us for your sake. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.